Yeah, here come the rooster. Yeah.
Bill Walton, ESPN, NCAA college hoop analyst, longtime NBA analyst at NBC, going to join the program coming up in about 25 minutes. And if you didn't hear the breaking news today, Rob Gronkowski may be an Arizona card. That's the breaking news today. Rob Gronkowski today said, you know, maybe I'll become a Cardinal. Breaking news. I don't know if Steve Keim has called him yet. I don't know anything about that. But he's coming to Sun Devil Stadium, and maybe if he does well, it'll be worth a tryout.
There's a chance.
Yep.
No chance at all.
What?
Rob Gronkowski's coming to the Arizona Cardinals. That guy's living his best life.
You Wildcat right now. Hater. Come on.
I like Rob. Look, I'd love for him to come to the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals have their eyes on some wide receivers, in our opinion. We're wondering, what are they about to do? Well, guess what just happened? There was actually an opportunity in which Cliff Kingsbury was at the Combine talking to Good Morning Football this morning, and the big question for them was, okay, you went through the whirlwind last year, got dropped out of nowhere as, wait, I'm no longer the USC offensive coordinator. I'm an NFL head coach attending a combine, and we're watching this player that I said months ago he should be drafted number one overall. How different is it now that you've actually been a head coach for a year?
It's definitely a lot more settled. I think as an organization, we have our quarterback. We still have a high pick, but I think our guys know what we're looking for, what we're trying to take this thing. And so I think everybody feels a lot better going into this year.
Coach, you got free agency coming up before we get to the draft. How do you guys go about kind of marrying the two together to make sure you have the best offseason possible?
Yeah, Steve does a great job of kind of laying out our plan. We had all our free agent meetings and put together a nice plan. So we know we have some holes to fill, and we'll try to get some of that done free agency and then hit the rest during the draft.
I care more about the first part of that than I necessarily do the second. And the reason why is something that you had said earlier. If you just tuned in, Rudy Carpenter's filling in for Wolf. He'll be here tomorrow too. And that is, you were really hamstrung on every organization, but because we're focused on Cardinals around here, you were totally looking at the Cardinals, of are your scouts looking for the best players for your coaching staff? And is your coaching staff willing to trust the scouts on this player is a great player, coach him up? You have to be on the same page. And it's interesting there with Cliff Kingsbury, is it does sound like at the beginning of that quote, he is focused on things are more settled because he says guys know what we're looking for. I have the suspicion that he's not talking about draft picks or free agents. He's talking about the guys being people in the building. We're all better off after a year of discussing what is a Cliff Kingsbury player.
Here's been my argument, and I think a lot of times if you read my Twitter feed, people think I'm negative. They think I'm negative on the Diamondbacks, or I'm negative on the Suns, or mm-hmm. I'm negative on the Cardinals or whoever. I'm not negative. My problem is this. In professional sports and in the corporate world, I believe there's a mindset. And the mindset is, this is how we're going to do something. Reason why? It's because we've always done it that way. That, to me, is a massive, massive, massive problem that people haven't been able to get over. And that problem in the NFL is massive. It's why we see GMs being recycled, head coaches being recycled, offensive coordinators being recycled. We see Carl Durrell becoming the head coach of the University of Colorado, who I like, by the way, but he's not a head coach. I can go on and on and on. It's because we want guys who have done it before. We want guys who we can trust. We this is how we've always done it. And my question is yeah, and that's why Alabama always wins the national championship, or why the Patriots are always in the mix at the end of the season, because they don't do it that way. My point is you hired Cliff Kingsbury as an outside-the-box hire to think differently, to bring a different perspective to your organization. If you're going to go that way, then let him do what you hired him to do. That's the same.
So what does
argument.
That mean? What did they hire him to do when it comes to end of the season through the first mini camp or the first OTA? What is the role of him now then in your mind?
Well, I think one of the big reasons why they brought him here was for outside the box thinking and creativity. Let him do that. Let him do that. Let him see players how he sees players. Let him evaluate players how he evaluates players. Let him project players into roles with how he's going to use them and what he's going to do with the way that he does it. I think that's an important piece for what all of these organizations need to do, especially ones that have not been consistent winners. It's similar to what the Arizona Coyotes did. The Arizona Coyotes went and hired a general manager in John Chyka that nobody knew who he was. He's an analytics guy. He's an internet guy. He wasn't in that world of general managers. That wasn't really his trajectory. They went and hired him for a specific reason. If you're going to do that with John Chyka, you have to let that play out. And that's what the Arizona Coyotes have been doing. And in my view, even though they've struggled as of late, his plan has been working. You have to let these plans see their way through. And most of these teams just keep on changing people out after two or three, mm-hmm. or just a couple years, and we don't see their plan come to fruition. With Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to run a different style of offense. If he's going to do that, and he's going to get comfortable as a play caller, and as a situational coach, and as a personnel guy, you have to let him, in my view, have a massive say in what direction this organization is going to go in. And so, to me, it's all about him and Steve Keim being on the same page with the same vision with what they want in this football team and how they envision it moving forward.
He might be getting exactly what you're talking about.
And I hope he is.
And I'll show you why next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney, what you got?
Which wide receiver would you rather the Cardinals draft?
Well, would you do me a favor? Will you boost your levels a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. It's not great, but it's not, like, awful.
Hello.
Oh!
There we go. Which wide receiver would you rather the Cardinals draft, CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy?
I'm on the Jerry Jeudy train.
Yeah, because he's from the SEC.
Rudy has refused to answer the Jerry Jeudy versus CeeDee Lamb.
I just think they're both really, really good players. And so I think it's going to come down to what the Arizona Cardinals value. I think both those guys will be good picks.
The most opinionated man in the world has no opinion.
I don't have an opinion. I think they're both really, really good football players. I like CeeDee Lamb. I like him. He's a good football player. I like Jerry Jeudy. He's a good football player. I like Henry Ruggs. He's a good football player. I think the Arizona Cardinals need to get the guy that fits best in the system.
So 59% say CeeDee Lamb. 41% say Jerry Jeudy.
I think they're wrong. Now, Rudy's right about one thing. I could end up right that Jerry Jeudy's better, and he doesn't make him fit the Arizona Cardinals offense. You know, there is that. And the thing about CeeDee Lamb is you already know exactly what he can do in that exact offense. That's one thing that's very, very rare, I think, in today's college versus pro game. How often do you go from college to pro doing mostly the exact same thing? That would be something. If you just tuned in, Rudy Carpenter's filling in for Wolf, and we got Bill Walton coming up in about 15 minutes. But in the last beautiful part of the program, Rudy made the point of if you're going to go so far outside the box to hire a Cliff Kingsbury, when it comes to hiring the personnel that he's going to coach, don't have him go into the corner and say, okay, you're the cute little guy. We're glad you're here as our head coach. Now sit down and shut up as we build your team. And it's interesting, when Good Morning Football had Cliff Kingsbury on, they asked him, what's your pitch to a free agent? Like, how are you going to bring in free agents? And it sounds like a guy that is now more on the forefront of talking to a free agent.
Yeah, you know, throwing great weather and you have some things rolling out there. But, you know, with a guy like Kyler, he's so dynamic. We expect him to take a big step in year two, and guys want to be a part of that. We have a good culture. You talked about Patrick P. and Chandler and Fitz. And, it's a fun team to be around.
Can I give my pitch?
Yeah.
Can I give my pitch?
On why somebody would want to be a Cardinal?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, come on, Cliff. You're young. You're a good-looking dude. You're making a lot of money. You're living in Arizona. Everybody knows what it is out here. That's why you want players to come here. Come on, man. Go out there and recruit these dudes. Go get them. You want to come to Arizona? We have great golfing. We have great weather. Our cost of living is great. The business is booming out here. The nightclub scene and the nightlife scene, everything that you would like as a player is awesome. We have beautiful women out here. You can make a lot more money here than you can in California, or you can in some of these really expensive places to live like New York. We have a young quarterback who can throw the football, and you have a young head coach who's an offensive coach who understands the mental makeup of all these young guys in the NFL and is going to cater to that. Let's create an environment, a professional environment, a fun environment where we're all getting paid and we're all playing and we're all confident and we're playing behind this Heisman Trophy winner, first overall pick quarterback who's a special, special talent. Come out here and play in an environment that's unbelievable.
Do you need to say all that on Good Morning Football, or could you save that for the actual pitch
Whatever,
in front of someone?
Come on, man. This is an organization to me that right now needs a boost, that needs a shot in the arm, that needs some adrenaline, that needs some news, some something around them. I mean, come on. Players want to play on Monday Night Football. They want to play on Sunday Night Football. They want to play in the playoffs. They want to get this exposure. They want opportunities. Like, elevate this stuff. Elevate
Kyler
Murray.
But Cliff doesn't seem like – and listen, I would like to hear some of that stuff too, but – Cliff doesn't seem like the number one energy guy. I mean, he supposedly works very hard. He's there all the time. He has great passion for his job. But, I mean, he doesn't look at interviews as PR opportunities.
Yeah, that's him. You know, I don't know. To me, I just want to see this organization be a good football team. I mean, look, for all the fans, here's the interesting thing. If you're in radio like Doug is or I am and sometimes or whoever, or if you're on TV, you want your local teams to be good. The ratings are better. Everything is better. People listen. It's way better to have good football teams or good basketball teams or baseball teams. We want our teams to be good. My frustration comes when you have some of the issues that came up this year with guys like David Johnson and guys like Patrick Peterson. And to me, these issues still aren't resolved, and you're just trying to sell the Kyler Murray situation. I like Kyler Murray, but when the story is still about Patrick Peterson and the story is still about David Johnson and Kenyon Drake not being signed, to me, if I'm the general manager, I'm the head coach on this team, there is still too much uncertainty for me right now, and I don't like it.
Well, I want Kenyon Drake re-signed. But I do accept the theory, and it's been proven to me too often for me to go against it, that running backs do grow on trees. I mean, of course, are there special and elite ones? Absolutely. But it does seem like if I can go raid the Miami Dolphins for a running back that saves my quote-unquote season, if you can have your season saved to win five games, then why can't I go out and get another one? Do I have to overpay for Kenyon Drake? Now, I'm saying this is a guy that wants Kenyon Drake to stay, and I think the Cardinals need to get him, but I don't know
Drake's
what he's asking
the problem.
For.
The problem is David Johnson's contract.
Yes, that's true. There's no doubt about that.
There's nothing they can do. What are they going to do?
But I don't look at that and say, okay, that should stop me from getting Kenyon Drake. I've got to go get myself a running back. And
you have David Johnson.
Do I?
Well, that's my point about last year.
After what David I saw Johnson. Last year, I don't have David
and
Johnson.
But whose fault is that?
I'm going to put about 70% of it on David Johnson.
Fine.
And I'm going to put about 30% of it on Cliff Kingsbury, because we've seen David Johnson be great. So if I hire you as coach, it is your job to make the best out of David Johnson.
I agree.
But here's the problem. And I admit I'm going to look at it from Cliff Kingsbury's point of view for once. And that is, if I've got to make a choice at what can I do that's great for Kyler Murray and what can I do that's great for David Johnson, I'm choosing Kyler Murray. And if those two things conflict, what am I supposed to do? If David Johnson cannot figure out how to be as good as he can be in a system based on Kyler Murray, I've got the wrong running back.
All I'm saying is you got to get guys here that want to be
yes.
here and that want to play and that want to win. Those guys need to be here. Plain and simply, they need to identify those guys in free agency. They need to identify those guys in the draft, and they need to shoot their shot at some point in time.
It's kind of interesting because Cliff was asked, what does he need to accomplish in this offseason to unleash a full-bore Cliff Kingsbury type of system or offense?
I think just being in this game year two will be yeah. huge. You know, offensively, defensively, special teams, keeping consistency there will be a big step. And we kind of had a feeling out here that first month of the season and got it rolling a little bit after that. But I'm excited to see where it goes in year two.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that answer for a coach, I'd have a lot of dollars. I get it. Yeah, we need the same consistency. We need the same. I get it. Yeah, and all that is true. You do. You do. You need your quarterback to get comfortable calling plays, being in the huddle, understanding his progressions, being in the same offense, understanding the run game adjustments, the run game kills and alerts, the pass protections, those adjustments, the hot routes, the side adjustments, the different ways you're going to, you know, change your route concepts or blitz checks or all the different things you have. That stuff is important for a quarterback, but you need playmakers in the NFL and playmakers who want to be here. At the end of the day, in my view, I know not everyone agrees with it, but in my view, this game is so much about the Jimmys and the Joes and less about the X's and the O's. They need to get guys here. They need to get better, talented players here. That's what they need on this team. They need to find guys who want to be here, not guys who are here because they have a legacy or because they have a career trajectory or they've been here for a long time. That's not how you're going to build a roster if those guys can't teach the young players how to be true, good professionals.
Join Bickley and Murata. By the way, did we disagree on anything there?
I don't know. Did we?
I don't think so.
All right.
I just want to.
That's rare.
Join Bickley and Murata this afternoon in Mesa, where they'll be broadcasting live from Sloan Park for Rockies and Cubs. That's at 105. Tickets are on sale right now, and you can get them. And you can also get information for Arizona Sports Cactus League broadcast just by going to the events page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, one of the greatest college basketball players of all time, a Hall of Famer, and the strange partner with Dave Pasch, as he has Ron Wolfley and Bill Walton as broadcasting partners. And if we can't get Wolf, we'll go get Bill Walton next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bill Walton, college basketball analyst for ESPN and the Pac-12 Network, has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Rudy Carpenter, former ASU quarterback, is filling in for Wolf today. And, Bill, I got to tell you a quick story so you know this. Ron Wolfley is normally the co-host of this show, and Wolf is the Cardinals color analyst with the play-by-play voice that is Dave Pasch. And so we've often and Wolf's kind of out there mentally sometimes, and we've asked Dave, who's stranger, you or Wolf? And he says, you, hands down. And I just don't understand why. So I would like to know your opinion of Dave Pasch.
I have no idea who you're talking about. My name is Frank Caliendo, and I just got out of the hot springs underneath the Oregon Pipe Hoodoo and dove through the clear, green, verdant pool at the base of the mountains on the Mogollon Rim, and here I am singing to myself while playing the piano at the same time, the Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven's 250th birthday this year, and then Ave Maria, and I'm trying to figure out the lessons of life through the wonders of nature, and here I am in the first spoken words of my morning on a beautiful, crisp, clear day. Somebody is harassing me already? Why would I volunteer to do something like this? Please, have you folks lost your mind over there? Now, who is this person you're talking about?
This Dave Pasch. Well, I can tell you something, though. I know this is not Frank Caliendo because I'm a friend of his, and he would not have known it's Beethoven's 250th birthday. I guarantee
Frank Caliendo is as smart a person, is as nice a person as I've ever known. And with the pressure mounting and with the countdown already begun, and as the sun devils, the burning cauldron, the inferno there, abandon all hope, ye who enter here, on their way to UCLA for this Thursday night's tilt. Incredible, with the fate of the known world in the balance, and I couldn't be happier, I couldn't be prouder of the job that Bobby Hurley is doing and the job that new coach Mick Cronin at UCLA, they're both doing. It's basically the same story. These are two guys who have taken over programs that were just floundering, programs that were literally substituting as the morgue. And now they have got it back to life, and that game on Thursday night at Pauley Pavilion is going to be remarkable. Sadly, I will not be there. I will be at across town at USC with Arizona at USC, which will be another critically important tilt between the Conference of Champions pillars as the Arizona schools begin their march to the sea. The armies of the West are joining there on the Gila River conjunction with the Colorado, and then they're going across the old Spanish Trail. Now, who is this guy you're talking about?
We've already moved on from Dave Pasch, so you're okay. So you answered that very well. When will the Conference of Champions go back to Final Fours?
When they win the first four games. It's very simple. Don't overcomplicate this. When you win the game, you move on.
It does seem complicated, though, for them to do that. Would you not agree?
Well, it's hard.
Oh, I see. It wasn't hard for you.
Sitting in a studio on the telephone, everything seems really easy. But when you get out there, it's very much like Dimitri, my piano player. When I'm trying to figure out how to make that transition on Ave Maria, when I'm trying to get the remarkable tone, touch, passion, and empathy that Alicia Keys had yesterday. And I just cannot figure out that transition. And my piano player, he looks at me and says, "Would you please stand up? This is very easy." Right. You got to be a champion. And one of the fantastic things about Bobby Hurley is that he is a champion. One of the greatest players in the history of college basketball. What he did at Duke to revive that program. And they have become, over the years, one of the standard bearers of what college basketball is all about. And that would not have happened without Bobby Hurley. It always comes back to leadership. And when you have the new American University with Michael Crow and Ray Anderson and Ken Lanphier and all these people who are doing these remarkable jobs helping young people build their lives, create their dreams and world, and then be able to go out there and deliver peak performance on command. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it doesn't just happen because somebody says it's going to happen. Talk is cheap, but vision is true. And when you've got anchors like Romello White out there, and when you've got the emerging Jalen Graham, you've got Kamani Lawrence making shots now, and you got Remy Martin and Rob Edwards and Alonzo Verge and Jalen House, and then Mickey Mitchell, like me, coming back from the dead, and how it's all happening, and you got that 942 student section over there in the Desert Financial building, and it's just so fantastically fun, and it's an awakening, and it's like the dawn coming up there over the Superstition Mountains in the Valley of the Sun, and then it just keeps warming up and warming up, and you see the simmering volcanic lava just waiting to explode, and then they come out, and the band fires up, and the refs put the ball up in the air.
What if David Hall puts the
world in the balance, and we can only hope?
What if David Hall puts the ball up?
The referee does not call a foul on the first play of the game. Please, we are trying to celebrate the wonders of nature here. Now, what was your question, sir?
I then asked about David Hall but you already answered that about
who?
Yeah, that's what I figured. Is it Schubert or which version of Ave Maria are you into?
I'm playing many different versions.
Oh, I see.
And one of the things, I'm not a good piano player, okay, but I love to practice, and I love the dream, and I love the building, and I love the trying to evolve and trying to develop. I grew up in a world of curiosity, exploration, experimentation. Let's try it all. So as I try to do it in different styles, in different keys, with different composers, then I try to get there, but mostly what I try to do is I try to feel it. It's the feel that Bobby Hurley has for his team, and I love the fact that he was wearing his championship ring in the Oregon game over there, and the game was just fierce as can be, and Bobby was just into it, and almost hoping that he could get out there and play. But when you get to the point, you cannot play anymore yourself. And so it's very difficult. You guys think it's just super easy. Call a play. Oh, really? Yeah. Make a substitution. Yeah, right. That sense of being able to create the culture, the identity, the style, the pace, all the different things that go in to winning the championship, have your guys able to exhibit the skill and demonstrate the fitness and make that commitment to the team and use the contributions of Daniel Marshall, the remarkable team that they have there, and then it all comes together, and Bobby was wildly gesturing. He hit himself in the head and he cut himself. Oh my gosh. That this letting of the blood, that's what we love, because this is about the blood and thunder of the Arizona State Sun Devils coming to try to stick a fork in them.
I think I can agree with that.
Are you sure? I think I agree.
But
when you have, when you've come so far, and what the Sun Devils have to guard against is the overconfidence. Yes, they're in first place, but there's four games to go, please. I mean, nothing. It's like people get all excited when you're ahead at halftime. The only thing more meaningless than the halftime score of a game is the final score of an exhibition game. And yes, the Sun Devils have won 7 straight, 9 of 10. Yes, they hammered UCLA with an incredible three-point shooting display in the first meeting just a couple weeks ago. But this is about bringing it today, and that ability to explode, that ability to be the champion. Fortunately for the Sun Devils, everybody's playing well. But what happened yesterday, what happened last game means nothing. You've got to come out with that edge, and Bobby Hurley, he has that edge, and he brings that edge. But they better watch out, those Sun Devils, because these Bruins, they're on fire. They just won at Colorado. They won at Arizona. And it's just remarkable what Mick Cronin has been able to do. And the Bruins got a lot of players. They're big. They're strong. They're tough. And what they've learned to do from Mick Cronin is to compete. They've learned to fight. You got to bring the fight without actually resulting in the fight itself. And Bobby Hurley, Mick Cronin, this is going to be a showdown for the ages. And I am excited as can be. Mostly, though, with all the things going on in my life, I'm just the luckiest guy in the world to be able to sit next to Frank Caliendo when I come to the Valley of the Sun and Desert Financial, and we all take our cues and instructions in life from the one, the only, the immortal Doug Tamaro.
I didn't know if you were actually going to say Dave Pasch as the I forgot. Bill, you are fantastic. Thanks for your time, and we would love to bug you again sometimes because it was – it was radio brilliance. We've got a
game. It's all right here. The ball bouncing by the center circle, and the referee is looking around to make sure that everything is in order. As he looks to the heavens and delivers that ball, that perfect orb that will just be spinning, spinning brightly, blue, dizzy with possibilities, and the two hands go ever higher. Who will get there? Who will be the guy who can deliver? Wow, Frank Caliendo in the hot springs, ready to dive through that clear, clean, verdant water. Yes, the Salt River, the Verde River meeting right there in the Valley of the Sun. On their way, the marching army of the West heading to California. Meet me on the burning shore. Here we go. What was that guy's name you were asking about?
I've now forgotten his name too. Thank you, Bill. You're wonderful.
Shine on.
That is Bill Walton joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, your family-owned and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. That has to happen again in my life. That has to happen again. Paul's call rips us to death. For anything Bill Walton said next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by 3. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, no, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
All right, so if the great Bill Walton is done teaching himself another instrument,
people can see that you're actually playing the glockenspiel.
This is called a glockenspiel, okay?
We did have a big fight the other night.
Down goes
Deontay.
Down goes
Wilder. According to Tyson Fury, Wilder had no chance.
If he couldn't beat me when I was only 50% the man I am today, then he never had a chance tonight.
Wilder might not have had a chance, but he does have an excuse.
Blame it on Calvisi.
No, blame it on.
Deontay Wilder has said that he didn't have legs for the fight. And the reason he didn't have legs for the fight is the...
Okay, hold up. He didn't have his legs. Okay, well, that... First, there was a rumor, by the way, that he had a cold. I mean,
fishy.
That was shot down by boxing insiders like this ESPN reporter.
He didn't have the cold because I've been with him the entire week. So
instead of owning the loss and just saying,
he beat me.
Right.
Straight up.
He had to come up with another excuse, apparently. So now Wilder is blaming it on His costume.
He walked in with a costume on that lit up. Deontay Wilder said between the mask, the costume, and the batteries, it all weighed 40 to 45 pounds.
His corner threw in the towel, and Wilder lost the heavyweight title.
Are you not entertained?
Because of his pre-fight gladiator getup.
Are you not entertained?
Are you serious?
And he said by the time he got in the ring and took it off, he felt like his legs were gone.
He lost his legs due to his costume.
I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
Rudy, did you ever lose your legs because of your helmet and your pads? I mean, we don't make this stuff up.
This was his quote. I paid a severe price because my legs were how they were because of my uniform.
Oh
my uniform was way too heavy.
Come on, man.
It weighed 40-plus pounds. We had it on 10 or 15 minutes before we even walked out and put the helmet on. That was extra weight.
Doug, to go from his dressing room all the way to the ring, it was grueling.
Then the ring walk. Then going up the stairs. It was like a real workout for my legs. When I took it off, I knew immediately the game had changed.
He says by the end of the second round, his legs were toast.
Milk was a bad choice.
Did we mention, by the way, that he's executing a clause in his contract for a third fight with Fury?
Cha-ching!
So, until athletes start owning it, we're firing it. The sawed-off shotgun of sports! Sports takes and a first at bat in the Astros' direction.
The second baseman, number 27, Jose Altuve.
Wow, look at that. First road game, he got booed each at bat. He got booed leaving the game in the sixth inning.
Jose Altuve was loudly booed when introduced. Yeah. Did he notice?
Not really, nothing in specific.
Lie detector. Pauly polygraph there, and he didn't notice. He did get cheered, though, guys, when he made an error. And more applause.
Her cheers when Altuve struck out and was called a cheater by several fans.
Yeah, well, you know it's going to happen, so.
In his words, Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire says the Astros are going to have to wear it for a while until it moves on.
So to sum up, Altuve was booed, he was called a cheater, and then he was beamed in the foot.
Ouch!
So, of course, he's not the biggest guy, just like Joe Burrow doesn't have the biggest hand size.
You know, these measurements, you can take so much from them. If it's a glaring issue on film with turnovers, yeah, it's probably an issue. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of fumbles.
Joe Burrow today at the NFL Combine, the hand size, as we know, measured.
It's only 9 inches.
Paul. 9 inches.
That's not big enough.
He tweeted out yesterday, quote, considering retirement after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands. Please keep me in your thoughts.
Go ahead, make your jokes, Mr. Jokey. Joke maker.
No joke, Doug, would be if you're an Ohio guy. And the question now, will you play for the hometown Cincinnati Skyline Chilis?
Yeah, I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
So there you go. That's the money quote from today. There, he says he will play. And then there, I don't know if this brings up some sort of red flag. Last we saw Joe Burrow, he was chomping on a big stogie.
Questions for Coach
right,
now?
Take it easy on that cigar, bro.
Right, Coach O was telling him, take it easy on the cigar, which brings up the fact that the draft's in Vegas.
That would be a lot of fun. You know, I've never been to Vegas before. I might have to hit a couple casinos while I'm out there.
Really? Viva Las Vegas. I don't know. NFL security might say otherwise. The number one pick overall hanging in casinos leading up to the draft. Just saying, they might step in. By the way, who's his go-to guy?
I always watch Drew Brees, and I think he's the best at what he does. Okay. We had very similar offenses last year, so I watched a lot of his film.
And he says Drew Brees isn't just the benchmark.
That was my idol growing up, and I've got to meet him.
So
Drew Brees!
A little name-dropping here.
I met him after the national championship game. I saw him last week, and we were just talking ball. And, you know, I was trying to be all cool, like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. But then on the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Drew Brees about football. So it was really, really cool.
So it's good. A little self-awareness there by Joe Burrow. Back finish.
And now it's time for another edition of...
Be gold dang.
All right. When Bill Walton used the word verdant on this on these airwaves, it threw everything off is what happened around here. So less than a year ago, they issued a warning about digital currency and
cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin have been exploited to support
Well, turns out you could say that's karma.
You are correct, sir.
Because it has been exploited by many a drug dealers, it turns out. This guy was in Ireland, and he learned the hard way what every Bitcoin investor knows.
I know what I'm doing.
Never, ever, Doug, lose your codes.
Do you understand?
No joke. You can't lose them.
I can't find it. The hell with it.
We have this drug dealer in Ireland named Colin, and he'd been laundering his money in Bitcoin since 2011.
Fat stacks, yep. Dead presidents, cash money.
So he gets busted recently and sentenced to 5 years in prison.
You're damn right.
His landlord cleaned out his apartment, sending everything to the dump.
Out of there.
Gone, incinerated.
Dust in the wind, dude.
Including his fly fishing case, which is important because the codes were hidden in the fly fishing case. They're long gone.
Gone!
Meaning, this guy, bad guy, can never access $60 million in Bitcoin.
I'll be golden!
Vaporized.
See ya!
He does have the self-awareness to say from prison, they actually quoted him, saying he considers it, quote, punishment for his own stupidity.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Ah, balls gone.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is how mad my wife's going to be when I read this text that she sent me in the last beautiful part of the program.
Oh, no.
I'm assuming that was Frank. He was great today. No, honey, that was really Bill Walton.
That's solid. By the way, the use of the word verdant, that was good. And you know what? Words to live by. Shine on, Bill Walton.
Don't you know anything about glockenspiels?
Thank you.
Rudy got caught.
Oh, man.
And that was Rudy's big takeaway. We'll have something better for you tomorrow.
We'll have something better for you tomorrow, but Paul's calls are always really good. Paul, nice job as always. Sorry about that. I got a little lump in my throat.
Sure, we'll go out to Sloan Park next with Bickley and Murata.